officially opened and welcome you in this joint meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform and the Portfolio Committee of DAV. We're supposed to start at 9:30. Our apology for delaying, but nevertheless, we have to proceed with our meeting. As I've indicated that this is a joint meeting, let me take this opportunity to then welcome the DM for DAV, Honorable Pele. You are welcome in this meeting. I think it would be proper for us to introduce ourselves, because there are two committees here. We've also Dr. Ngomane from DPME. You are welcome, Doctor, to be part of this meeting. Kenny, can you start that side, introduce yourself, then it will go this way so that we know each other. The register will also be circulating for members to sign and our guests. Over to you, Ken.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I don't know after you calling me Kenny if I should introduce myself informally or formally, but my name is Ken Robertson, member of Rural Development and Land Reform, representing the Democratic Alliance. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. What is the date today? The 14th. I've got seven names, one for each day of the week, so I need to check which day it is. You can call me Alec today in Chabeleng.
Good morning. My name is Annette Stein, and I'm a member of the Agriculture Portfolio.
My name is Pieter van Dalen. I'm also a member of the Agriculture Portfolio Committee.
Nono Maloy, PC DAF.
Thank you very much. Morning. I'm Catherine Matsimbi, a member of Rural Development. Thank you.
That is Phil Channen, Rural Development. Thank you.
Tandeka Mbabama, Rural Development.
Thomas Walters, Rural Development.
Good morning, my name is Ralph Bifelo, Parliamentary Liaison Office, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform.
Good morning, my name is Chiliro Manenje. I support rural development as a parliamentary staff.
Good morning, members and colleagues. My name is Phumla Nyamza, Portfolio Committee Rural Development and Land Reform.
Good morning, members and colleagues. Nobuzola Mqashe, supporting the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Temisa Pepeteka, supporting the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Land Reform.
Pele is my name, working for DAF.
Leona Archery, Rural Development and Land Reform.
Good morning, Ubongi Nkosi Zulu, working for Department of Rural Development and Land Reform.
Good morning, I'm Violet Machinda from Rural Development and Land Reform.
Good morning, members. Moti Mamanya from DAF.
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Elda Mchiza from DAF.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Mike Mlenga, and I'm from DAF.
Good morning,
Honorable members and colleagues, I'm Tsakani Ngomane from the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. I'm the outcome facilitator on rural development. Thank you.
Good morning, members, chairpersons. My name is Bonga Mzomi from Department of Agriculture, Forests and Fisheries.
Good morning, honorable chairs, members, DM, DGs. My name is Joe Hobogwe from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Good morning. My name is Jacob Sajwayo from DAF.
Good morning. My name is Alicia Stevens from DAF.
Good morning, members. My name is Namakubi Somafani. I'm supporting the DG of Agriculture. Thank you.
Good morning, Anthony Dietrich from DAF. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I'm Phumzile Ngonyamabila, the chairperson for the PC on Rural Development and Land Reform. Can I then take this opportunity and give it to our committee secretary, both rural support staff, our support staff, one meeting. No caucus here. For our committee secretaries to indicate the apologies that we have received. Over to you, Pumla and Dafsek.
Thank you, Chair. I've got an apology from Minister Jean Quinty. He's attending a cabinet meeting. DM Mashego might join us late. DM Squacha is busy with the ministerial task duties. I've got an apology from MP Madela, he's off sick, and MP Mashabela, they're both off sick. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, those are the apologies that were presented to our committee secretary. Honorable DM.
Adding on apologies, my minister is en route to Beijing, so leaving this morning. Thanks.
Can we note the apologies and proceed with our meeting? For the waste of time, then, can I then take this opportunity and hand over to my colleague, Honorable Semenya, to just have a short briefing before we proceed with our program. Thank you very much. Over to you, Honorable Semenya.
Good morning, Honorable Members, GM and the staff supporting the Parliament and departments. As the chair has indicated, there's been a decision that was taken that the recap will be transferred to agriculture. So the rural development called this meeting for us to come, all of us to sit here and understand the how far is the process, and so that as we're going to engage in various committees, we would know that jointly we're here and listen from both departments in terms of the processes, how far is the process. So I would leave it that so that we get it from the department. Since the decision has been taken, how did the processes unfolded and how far is the process? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Semenya. Honorable members, as indicated by Honorable Semenya, after the public hearings that we held with the stakeholders on the recap, as the committee, we realized that there are some duplications with regards to the work that is being done by DAF and also the recap, especially on the post-settlement support. Then we received a briefing from the DPME. They also recommended that the recap must just be moved from rural development to to DAF. When I considered the committee report, which was the House resolution, the matter was there in the committee report of DAF, that the recap has been transferred to DAF, but the challenge was the issue of the budget resources. In other words, it was the unfunded mandate. Then on the other side, the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development, we appreciated the, that move of the transference of recap to DAF, because we felt that the issue of the post-settlement support is the responsibility of DAF. We know that this recap was the program that was initiated by the Department of Rural Development in 2009. If I'm not mistaken, the implementation started in 2010. Its intention was to support the land reform beneficiaries to provide post-settlement support, since most of the farms that were redistributed, the farms that were restituted, were unproductive, were distressed. Then the department decided to initiate that program to provide the technical support, the training, transfer of skills to through the strategic partners, the mentors, and also to provide equipment and infrastructure to those land reform beneficiaries. And that was done, I think it was in five phases, whereby the first phase was the 100% support. The second phase was the 60% support. The third phase, I think also it was 60% support, but they will indicate that. Then the fourth phase was the 40% support. The last phase was the 20% support. As this committee on rural development and land reform, we informed that there was no specific budget, but they will indicate also where did they get money for that recap, so that when we move out of this room, we move with the same understanding. Therefore, without a waste of time, then I will give this opportunity to the acting DG of Rural Development to make a presentation on this recap. When was it started? Where are we now? What are the plans? I think also agriculture will come in to indicate their readiness to take over the recap as one, whether it will be one of their CAS program or whatever program that they have, to provide post-settlement support to land reform beneficiaries. Over to you, Acting DG.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Thank you very much. We're going to present in terms of the recap and recapitalization and development program. As the invite had requested, that we give a brief background again in terms of the actual policy itself. What was it about? What was it aiming to do? We were also asked to give the progress since we started to now in terms of what has happened so far in terms of the recap and development program. What then do we still have outstanding? Because as we've been presenting, even in the APP of the department, we had indicated that one of the core things we would do this year is to close out those that were in the final tranches, as the chair had indicated. And then we also begin to talk to the process that we are following together with our partners, Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, in terms of the transition and the handing over. So the presentation then is structured in that way. Acting DDG Bonginkosi Zulu then will make the presentation on our behalf. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairpersons and the Honourable Members, the Deputy Minister, DGs and the colleagues. I'm going to be very brief, try to be very brief because it's a, the presentation is a bit longer because we started the program in, like the Chairperson have said, conceptualizing the program in 2009, but we started the actual implementation in 2010. The presentation will just cover the following, the background, the problem statement, the rationale behind the development of the policy, the measures and the specific objectives of the policy. Then what was the funding model that we adopted, and then we will touch on the rationale behind the movement of the program or post-settlement support to the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, like the chairperson has indicated. And we'll also touch on what we have done so far in terms of targets and the performance to date of the program. And then the last, very last slides, I'm not going to touch on those. They just give some of the projects that we feel as a department, those were successful projects during the implementation of the program. This very first slide is just to link the program in terms of the different frameworks that we have in government, in terms of the NDP, Chapter 6, that's where we withdraw from. And in terms of outcomes, it's outcome one, outcome 7, especially output 1 and output 4. And also in the MTSF, the targets that are there and the indicators that we are contributing to in terms of this program. And in our strategic plan, we've got two strategic objectives, 5.2 that talks to comprehensive provision of comprehensive farm development, support to smallholder farmers and land reform beneficiaries for agrarian transformation. That is where this program is responding to. And then we've got the different indicators in terms of our APP that was presented to the committee, which talks to the particular indicators in terms of this comprehensive support that we provide in terms of this program. But remember, in terms of this financial year, we are only focusing on the finalization of the existing commitments, as you will see in our operational plan. We've got the indicator that talks to the number of recapitalization and development commitments finalized, because we had a commitment that we had. So a decision was taken to say, let's finalize all the recap commitments for this financial year, so that when the handover is happening, but the backlog in terms of the commitments that we have, all the approvals that we have already finalized all of them. So we've got those targets for this in the operational plan for the department. In terms of the background, I think you would remember, honorable members and colleagues, that we, as a department, we undertook in 2009 an evaluation of the implementation of all the programs since inception. We were evaluating all our programs in terms of land reform, starting from the grant-based system that we had as a department up to a point where we started the proactive land acquisition, including across all the programs that we had in the department. And then most of the, in that evaluation, it was identified that most of the land reform projects were not successful, thus in distress, or some of them they had failed due to lack of adequate and appropriate post-settlement support. And also in addition to that, most land acquired through the various programs of land reform were in the verge of being auctioned or have been sold due to the collapse of such projects, resulting in the reversal of the objectives of land reform. So that is the background. It was against this background that in 2009, the department decided to conceptualize the implementation of this program as an intervention program to resuscitate these farms to become productive. In the main, the program was focusing on providing comprehensive support to farmers, such as infrastructure development, on-farm and off-farm infrastructure, the acquisition or purchase of production inputs, machinery, implements, and then strategic partnerships with established farmers to link up, to link the emerging farmers or small-scale farmers with markets and ensure skills transfer. So then in order to enhance this relationship between the three partners, which was the farmers, the department, and the strategic partners, we then entered into contracts, which were five-year contracts with the maximum period for intervention by the department. It also depended on the type of a commodity, but the ceiling was the intervention was going to be a five-year period. You will see on the model that we adopted as a department, and also the comprehensive support offered to farmers. There were a number of challenges that were identified, and we had to review in 2014 the what we call the policy, which we eventually that is the one that we are implementing. The reviewed policy was also presented to the committee a while ago. Then we, in terms of the problem statement, we why we decided to have this policy, I think most of us would know, we were trying to address in terms of land reform, all the land reform programs or projects that we have implemented to address the issues of poverty, inequality, and unemployment, as those are the perennial challenges that are facing us as a country. And then also, since 1994, the department has been acquiring and transferring land to previous disadvantaged persons through the land reform programs. So the program was not only talking to your land redistribution and land tenure programs, it was also including restitution as well, the farms that we have acquired through restitution. The policy also, as I've said, is aimed to address issues relating to historic exclusion from land, equitable access to land, and participation in the optimal utilization of land. Then the program also has been developed to give effect to the CRDP and to bring about household food security and national food self-sufficiency. The rationale was mainly, in terms of this program, was to provide the farmers with financial support to improve access to resources, to improve productivity and profits, strategic partnerships, which will increase the likelihood of successful commercialization of these particular farms. The strategic partners were meant to transfer technical and business skills to these land reform beneficiaries and provide adequate support to emerging black farmers in terms of in the land reform space. And we also supported some of the farmers in communal areas and on our state farms. Emerging black farmers will be able to farm independently after training and mentoring contemplated in this particular program. And then revitalization of land reform and other farms will lead to the employment creation and opportunities for those in relevant communities. So that those were the noble ideas that we had, that we have for this particular program. In the main, the intervention was to provide comprehensive support to land reform farmers, as I've said, to increase production on these farms, increase employment associated to projects and surrounding communities, increase profitability of these land reform farms, increase project contribution to the agricultural value chain. These were the noble objectives, the specific objectives of the program, which I have alluded to previously. This one is the funding model that we adopted as a department, which was a collaborative approach, which talks to three partners, which is the department, the land reform beneficiary or the farmer, and the strategic partner. So if you look at this, the contribution by the state was supposed to decrease over the years, depending on the particular commodity and the needs in terms of the business plan, while at the same time the contribution by the strategic partner and the farmer increases in terms of both financially and at the project management level and provision of other resources into those particular farms. As I've mentioned, the strategic partnership models, there were three strategic partnership models that we adopted, the mentorship, share equity arrangement and co-management between the two. As I said, bullet number one and number two is trying to explain the numbers that we're talking about in terms of the support between the three partners, the tripartite collaboration between the department, strategic partners and the emerging farmer or the land reform beneficiary. This is just the process that we adopted in terms of the implementation of the program from phase one up to phase seven in terms of how we implement the particular program as a department. I'm not going to dwell much on that one. But what is important for the program now is that in terms of the reasons why I think the chairperson has alluded to some of the reasons, but basically there were also evaluations that were done in the program by the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation from inception in 2010. Inception of the program till July 2018, which was conducted, and the committee I remember were here to appraise the committee on the key findings on that particular evaluation. What was most important was that which are the key findings which you have highlighted is the strengthening of the program. They said the strengthening of the program is the second best solution. However, the program should continue in the interim while a lasting solution is sought. And then secondly, what was important in that particular evaluation, in the findings by DPME, was that the best and lasting solution would entail a redesign and overhaul of all public agricultural support programs and doing away with existing silos of funding for agricultural support services. This will entail the establishment of an all-inclusive fund to support land acquisition, extension services, and mentorship, agricultural finance, and market access. So based on that background, I think for us as a department as well, we accepted the fact that this particular function, this mandate, can be transferred to the colleagues from the department. This is in response to this evaluation as well. The DPME is also commissioned a study, as my colleagues can expand from my colleagues from the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. They commissioned a study as well on the performance of CASP. The report indicated that the program is not aligned to other government programs, e.g., those of Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and Department of Water and Sanitation. The report also indicated that the scope and coverage of CASP are too wide, resulting in resources being thinly spread, thus limiting the effectiveness of the program in achieving its intended objectives. The report recommended that the most effective way to support farmers in South Africa is to overhaul and redesign all farmer support programs and do away with the existing silos of farmer support. The overhaul entails, as I've said, a single program for farmer support to replace the numerous programs which currently exist between the two departments. The progress to date on the transfer of the program, in line with the need to streamline budgeting across departments, the National Treasury looked at areas of duplication of functions, and they then approached the department and Department of Forestry and Fisheries, our department, Rural Development and Land Reform, and Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. And there were several engagements between the two departments and the National Treasury. And then after that, those engagements, the colleagues will talk to that. There was a task team in the meetings where we identified different mandates and functions between the two departments. There was a document that was presented to our senior, our managers, our DGs at the time, which were compiled by ourselves, which looked at the different support services that must be provided to land reform beneficiaries, the Department of Rural Development vis-a-vis the Department of Agriculture. And then our minister, the ministers of Rural Development, Land Reform and Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries agreed in the 2016-17 financial year that post-settlement support for land reform farms is a function of the Department of Water Affairs, of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. Then after that, we were asked to establish a task team, which was established between the two departments. Myself and the DDG Manya, we convened that task team where we are busy currently developing the standard operating procedures to align land acquisition processes and post-settlement support function. There is a document that we developed, and we also debated the decision and was advised that since the recap policy was not funded by National Treasury in terms of, it was an unfunded mandate, like the chairperson has said, there will be no movement of the financial and human resource from DRD. Then we then agreed to say DAF will therefore provide post-settlement support functions and may not necessarily follow the entire recap and development policy as it stands right now. But the function is acceptable. Then we have to redesign, like I've said, in terms of evaluation, a post-settlement support program that will be support our farmers across the board. An agreement we developed, one of the decisions was that we need to develop an agreement between through our legal services between the department, which would therefore have to be signed by the two ministers in terms of the handing over of this particular function. Then the department will, however, at this current point in this financial year, at the Department of Rural Development must, however, continue to disperse the outstanding tranches on existing commitments Hence, I've said in our APP and operational plan for this financial year, that indicator is there in terms of finalization of all our recap commitments with the available budget that we have as a department. Then the task team will finalize these documents. What we just have to agree with the colleagues on the finalization, but we were hoping that between the month of July and August, we'll have to sit down as both departments and then finalize these agreements. This is just the process that we have proposed as a Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in terms of finalizing some of the outstanding tasks in terms of this particular handover of the function. But I'm not going to dwell much on them. Then in terms of the success for the program, I'm not going to bore the committee about the first one, because that first slide only talks to the indicators that we have set ourselves in the year 2016-17, which all of those targets were achieved. Then in terms of the expenditure, in terms of the budget that we spend on the program, is by the end of the financial year 2016-17, was 698 across the provinces. There's a breakdown how much we spend in each one of the provinces. The overall delivery on the program to date is that we have approximately 1,675 farms under the program since 2009 or 2010, with 1.5 million hectares amounting to 4.8 billion, and we have secured approximately 772 strategic partners which have been assisting these farmers in providing the technical support, financial support, like we have mentioned previously. Then that slide just gives the breakdown on the delivery and in terms of the numbers that I was talking about. Strategic partnerships overall, nationally, 772. And also, as I've said, there's a breakdown per province in terms of how many jobs that have been created through this program, and how many women have been employed through this program, how many farmers have been trained through this program, how many of the farmers trained are women in through this program, and also the hectares that are under development since we started the program, and the budget that we have spent to date on the program since 2010 to March 2017, which is 4.8 billion rand. For the commitments that we are busy finalizing now, the commitments that I've alluded to, we've got 228 projects that have commitments, and the financial implication is 302 million rand, which we have accommodated in as a department in our budget allocation. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to go to the highlights on the various program, on the various projects that we have implemented. It's a long list. I think the committee members can just look at them as additional information. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Zulu, for the presentation. Acting DG, is there anything that you want to add? Honorable Minister, you're welcome. We're busy with the presentation on the recap. Acting DG,
no.
Any additions?
No. Thank you, Chair. Not at this moment.
Thank you very much. Let me then take this opportunity and hand it to Honorable Semenya. I don't know whether agriculture does have any presentation before we engage on the questions. Thank you.
Thanks,
Chair. I think let's get the Department of DAF to make their input in terms of the processes as outlined by the Rural Development and Land Reform on the because what you need is the confirmation of issues that have been raised that you had agreed that there should not be resources and stuff that should be transferred to yourselves because it's your functions. So I think if you can clarify those pertinent things that have been raised in the presentation, there is no need for another presentation. Let's confirm the issues. There is a task team which is discussing the transfer processes, and there is agreement that there is no need for funds and staff transfer because it's a function of staff. Can we take that route? We don't need a long presentation. Staff?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Ministers and Deputy Ministers, colleagues. Chair, we are fully in agreement with most of the issues they have raised, especially the task team that we are working with. Where the fundamental disagreement is on the resource transfer that goes with the RECAP program itself. But it is very significant, Chair, that quickly to one just do a quick recap of what is the mandate of DAF. We have got to do 1 million jobs by 2030. 300,000 smallholder farmers must be supported. And that's a new growth path. And the presidency has announced in SONA that we have got, in addition to that, to do about 450 commercial farmers, commercial black farmers. Yet the budget that we have had in terms of CASP and ILEMA in particular is not in accord with those key aspects and objectives of our nation. So therefore, we would have allowed the department to allow the transfer of resources, full resources, because we do believe that in their planning, RECAP was featured there. So we're requesting that let it come with the resources, and more importantly, the competence to change those farms lie with agriculture. So if we're talking about effective production, it lies with agriculture. So consequently, we need to fund that. And also, we've got Operation Pakisa that has just been launched. It needs the budget. But CASP and ILEMA are not talking to that. It is our belief that if RECAP is transferred with its resources, we will be efficient. We certainly are going to be efficient in meeting all these. And we also suggested to our colleagues that RECAP is a function of a self-inflicted wound. When we acquire farms, they should go with the inputs. Because later on, we buy those inputs. And the consequence is to call for RECAP. And our suggestion, and it's a suggestion that we want to have been thrown to our colleagues, that let's not give farmers land. Let's give them farms. Which means all the inputs that we could have bought are now being bought by RECAP. But having said that, I would like my colleague to just talk to exactly those issues with specific reference to the lack of capacity, financial resources in particular. Thank you, Chair. She will, my colleague here will run over that now.
Chair, if you allow, we have just a short presentation to make.
Maybe before that presentation, I think it's a culture that when you present before the committee, you have to circulate the information before for the committee members to go through that presentation and be ready to engage the department. But I'm told there's no presentation that you have received from agriculture.
Maybe if the
DG can assist us on that one.
We do. I think we can adjust. There's no excuse for that, Chair. We just apologize. We do have the copies with us, and we're supposed to have given them, submitted them later, earlier than now. Our apologies for that.
Chair, I think let's allow them to present, because this issue it's a thorny issue that needs to make particularly the new program of PAKISA to deliver on the mandate of the NDP. I agree that it should not be the culture, and let's accept the apology from the DG and allow them to present. And in the meantime, as we present, can we get the DAF staff to get those copies to members so that when we come into question and clarification, members would have those copies.
Now, just saying that it's unfortunate that we're going to talk to documents we haven't seen, and the culture in this committee, we don't interact with anything until we are given, unless we are given enough time to peruse the document. You have had this document for a very long time, and how do you expect us within 3 minutes to read the documents, apply our minds, and give inputs? You are really denying us a chance to engage with these documents. You denied us an opportunity of engaging with you. If we didn't have time constraints, I was going to say that let us move this thing to another day so that we can have time to engage with the documents. We felt locked out of this discussion, and for me, I think it's going to be a waste of my time being here.
No, yeah. Honorable Chevelin, you are right. If honorable members, they are not ready to discuss without document, it's your choice to suspend the meeting. But if with the interest ourselves, we're say checking if they, because DG said when he presented that most of the issues that have been presented by rural development, they concur with it, they just want to add. So I don't think it's a very big presentation. So I'm not sure even with that request we have a problem with. Honorable Nguni.
Thank you, Chair. The co-chairs, good morning. I'm aware there were introductions. I'm PJ Nguni, designated ALC Whip at Rural Development. I just wanted to come in on the issue at hand and suggest, Chair, that my colleague we take some hard compromise. I did listen to the DG, spoke for less than a minute, and he spoke more like a politician. I would have expected those two beautiful gentlemen seated there to really make the points that he was making. And as DG, for me, whether deployee or what, he would have needed to have ensured that we have necessary documentation to support this meeting. And what I've seen, Chair, was the DG at DAF to really become a politician and less of a manager and administrator to make sure that we have documentation. Ordinarily, we were going to take him to task big time. Maybe our colleagues, I see Honorable Malo is sitting quite far. Sorry for the city arrangements. He should be sitting here. Ordinarily, it shouldn't be allowed. We can't, Chairs, expect joint briefing by departments handing over functions to each other and instead get a wide political statement. Rural Development, Chair, because I want to really propose a solution to this impasse, has indicated the background that it top-sliced from its own budget in order to put in place some post-settlement support. Now, when the issue is, okay, we take over the function, give us even that funds which you, I think the DG statement was quite clumsy. He's an intellectual. I'm aspiring to be one. He can engage me, and I would gladly accept. Very, very clumsy statement to suggest that, in other words, as you resolve the issue about farmers and so on, you close down the scope of land reform altogether. But if you go to Prof. Noel Cousins' article of Monday, he laments the slow pace of transformation. If you go to the CSIR, they say it will take 144 years to reform land completely at the current pace. But here we have a leading official of DAF saying, no, give us those funds, we'll do it for you. It's in lending chair, it's like if SAPS have some sport against crime, and Department of Sports come in and say, but that sports, give us that function, then Department of Sports says, give us even that police budget which you use to do sports against crime. I don't know if I had a DG, well, I would ask him at a relevant point in time to come back. I suggest a compromise, my chairs. We still take the presentation and we try and make do with the arrangements as they are. Already I am quite warm from the small statements of the DG. But I suggest we progress, so we don't defer to any other date. Thank you.
Honorable Maloy.
No, thanks, Chair. Honorable Nguni, I decided to sit here deliberately because in the next 5 minutes I'll be leaving. I have a doctor's appointment now at 11, so that's why I decided to sit here. I would have been next to you in order to ensure that I whip you thoroughly. But nevertheless, Chair, you know, Chair, I don't know how this arrangement was done. Because, you know, there is a task team that consists of both the two departments. Under normal circumstances, they would have made a joint presentation on progress and so on. Instead of that one presenting that side, that one presenting that side, as if we are here for some little battle or whatever. So that's what I thought. And I thought that when you were handing over to the Department of Agriculture to make a presentation, you made it clear that what rural development has presented covers almost everything. What they then need to do is just to highlight key issues, if there are key issues that need to be highlighted from the presentation of rural development. So I'm not sure if DAF has got its own presentation. Are they suggesting that there are two task teams? There's another one that is working that side, the other one that is working that side. Let's not confuse members of parliament. So it is against that background that I'm going to agree with Honorable Nguni. Let's proceed with the presentation. But the presentation, as you said earlier on, let them not start from the beginning and give us what rural development gave us. Let them tell us if there's any other thing which they think that it was not included in the rural development presentation, and then include that one, then let's start discussing. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Spain. Okay. Let's proceed, ma'am.
Thank you, Honorable Chairs. Just to save time, I'm not going to repeat what rural development has said, as has been explained. Indeed, we do have a task team which was established between the two departments to look at the perceived duplications. And I would want to start here, which is the statement also that was captured by my colleague from rural development, where he was indicating the rationale for the transfer of funds. And you would see that this is a statement. He mentioned that the three programs were, the impact evaluations were done for three programs, which is CASP, MAFISA, and for the RECAP, it was an implementation evaluation. And central, before any recommendations were done, the evaluators indicated that we actually have silos in approaching farmer support, and they would propose that South Africa looks at overhauling and redesigning all farmer support programs. And this is the basis from which we moved. The summary recommendations he had indicated in his presentation, I'm not going to talk about it. Now, the issue is if there is an overhaul of the agriculture or the farmer support in South Africa, how then is DAF positioning itself to be able
to accept the responsibility to lead in the space of farmer support and development. And what has happened is that, as you all know, we embarked on an operation Pakisa on agriculture, land reform, and rural development. And 5 weeks were spent, one of the work streams was really looking at this producer support. It came up with key important interventions that would address the misalignment and the silos, which proposes a single approach to farmer support in South Africa. It suggests that the provision of comprehensive support to farmers must focus on business development support, infrastructure support, inputs, markets, skills, and capacity building. But key to it, we must ensure that we unlock the challenges of finance and markets for all black farmers in South Africa in particular. Who should be prioritized? It was indicated that we have to be biased towards black producers who are still facing challenges such as access to markets, finance, and technical support. They are not necessarily linked to integrated value chains, and their costs of production are still very high. They are not organized, and therefore they remain excluded from the mainstream agricultural economy. They are perceived to be high risk by financing institutions, and they do have a weak balance sheet, which makes it difficult to access finance. The support by government should enable them to be productive, competitive, resilient, profitable, and integrated, both vertically and horizontally along the value chain. Just to go back to the recommendations of their studies, they indicated that the wholesale approach of CASP is not advisable. They proposed that the current support that is done by rural development on RECAP is not advisable. They were proposing that those farmers must be, the program must look at including in the grant funding a portion of a loan to enable actual business development. The same was also a criticism that came from the CASP impact study. Now, knowing all this, how do we then respond? We are all in agreement that we need to synergize and align government farmer support programs to ensure one approach to farmer support in South Africa. We are in the process, as you all know, of concluding the policy on comprehensive producer support, which should guide the whole sector. The policy advocates for blended funding. Before this policy, we had embarked on a framework for development funding, and it had given us three options in terms of how best can we support farmers, and the blended funding approach is the one that was now proposed. And here we are talking about how should we respond. We still need to recognize that these farmers are in different land holdings. We have farmers in South Africa who are black and they have acquired land privately. We have farmers who are beneficiaries of land reform. And we have farmers who are operating also at a small scale and commercial scale, but they are in communal spaces. Our focus should be on how best do we provide the required supports to both smallholder and commercial operations, irrespective of land holding. We need to agree and understand how we should minimize the risks, both real and perceived, in the interest of food security and transformation of the sector. The Pakisa of Agriculture, Land Reform, and Rural Development proposes a business model that will minimize the real and perceived risks. It ensures that these farmers must receive specialized technical support. They must receive training and capacity building, they must be mentored, and the support on business accreditation, amongst others, because we are not going to continue speaking on successes for black producers when we don't have a critical mass of black producers who are exporters themselves and who are large scale. The business model proposes a triple partnership between government, the producers, our SOEs who are sitting with the competence are not necessarily very much involved in supporting these black farmers, as well as the banks. And we have had a number of engagements with these institutions. We are believing that with the funding, we can actually unlock much for themselves. What is the benefit and the value for this approach for the farmers and government? We are believing that we would broaden and increase access to funding, to markets, to specialized extension, as well as ensuring that black farmers participate and own and control value chains. new industrial projects can be created based on available economies of scales, irrespective of the type of land holding. We want to establish new infrastructure which shall form part of the collective assets of these farmers. And they would be able to access new technologies for communication, production, markets, as well as research. But above all, if we are talking transforming the agricultural sector, we are not going to do it if you don't have that visible critical mass of black producers who are participating within the mainstream agricultural economy. And it is in our interest to make sure that all land reform beneficiaries are a success. Now, towards the comprehensive producer development support, we have categorized farmers such that we are satisfied that the packages of support are suitable per category. So we have those that are vulnerable and they're producing only for household. We have categorized those who are smallholder, and we have categorized those who are operating at commercial scale. There are guiding principles that says every producer must be registered for him to access the support. There has to be skills assessment and training. There has to be market-led approach. There has to be some capped support, as well as exclusions for accessing these supports. But on the overall, key to, as I indicated, we are advocating for a triple PPP, is that for the different categories of farmers, we have measured or determined what support and what would be the appropriate capping. And as DG has indicated, when you quantify the numbers within the smallholder that needs to be supported, the numbers within the commercial, medium, as well as large, you begin to realize that the resources that are available within both the program CASP and Dilema Letsema are not sufficient for delivering to this mandate. The partnership or the approach, as I had indicated, would include development finance institutions, our ARCs, NAMC, PPECB, OBP. We need academic institutions who must provide capacity and research. The ARCs, NAMC, PPECB, and OBP must provide research, market information, vaccines, product quality assessment, and so on. The DFIs must bring forward those loans. They must administer our grants, insurance, as well as capital. Agricultural trusts, as we know, we have legislated that these companies must provide trusts and pay levies for development. So that money must also be guided in terms of the development we want to see, and the provincial departments of agriculture, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, Department of Water Affairs, and the Department of Environmental Affairs are key partners in this development of farmers, and their services would include water licenses, environmental impact assessments, extension services, farmer training, business development, and bulk infrastructure support. The services, as I had indicated, that would be a package, which is a comprehensive package to each individual farmer, would include their profiling of their farms, business plan development, market access, specialized extension service provided, mentorship, producer accreditation, meaning that they have to have certification in terms of SA GAP or global GAP. They must be linked within the value chain, and they must be one of the indicators of success is a number that is able to export. The challenges, policy GAP, to harmonize, which we are currently addressing through the comprehensive producer support policy, which should be concluded before this financial year is happening. The multiplicity of farmer support programs is being addressed by the transfer that is coming. Limited funding is a burden for support because the support required exceeds the resources that are available within the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries through its support programs, and of course technical support, which still needs to be perfected and ensure that specialized extension support is provided to these
beneficiaries. And as my colleague has indicated, when we discussed the principles around transfer, and the department indicated that they are not transferring the resources, we then said, because the original principle in terms of agreement was that the function follows the resource, if you are not transferring the resources, then you are not transferring the program. You'd rather stop the program and not say you are transferring it, because there's no way the Department of Agriculture could accept that function without its resources. The next steps, as I had indicated, DAF and Rural Development needs to finalize this agreement on aligning of functions. The draft that we have had, as the colleague has indicated, we have a draft MOE. We had taken through our legal department to the state law advisors, and the state law advisor has already responded back to us to caution on the fact that functions need to follow resource. And if that is not happening, then the naming of the agreement should not be a transfer of RECAP. So this is where, as a department, we are stuck on the agreement. DAF, Rural Development, DPME, and National Treasury needs to finalize the transfer of the programs and resources as per function shift guidelines. We also have seen a need to embark on an intensive study or audit of what is going to be transferred to us as a department. We are working on the terms of reference with DPME, which should be concluded by end of June, so that we know and understand what is it that we are receiving from the Department of Rural Development. We need to understand, of the 1,600 recapitalized farms, what percentage of them are already commercial, what percentage of them are small holding, what are the gaps in terms of profiling of each of the farms, so that we position ourselves not to let the ball drop, but to immediately pick it up, because it's a quick win. They have already received a bulk injection of funding from the department, and we could begin to communicate successes in terms of the critical mass that we were talking about that already exists. We need to address the implications for implementation, program to phase in and out the alignment adjustments, programs and budget alignments needs to happen. We need also to engage the provincial departments of agriculture. We are currently engaging the land bank as part of the delivery model to disperse the blended financial assistance. We have also started another task team with the DTI to help us assist on the Black Farmers program, which is almost similar to the Black Industrialist program. Others is that ourselves and Rural Development's coordination and project approval structures must be aligned. Legislation, regulatory, and policy harmonization will need to happen. For example, one of the things that the task team spoke to was, how do we prevent the situation that happened not to happen again? And we are believing that at the point at which a land is acquired for agriculture, agriculture must be involved in that decision to make sure that the right farm is acquired and is already as a going concern. And where it's not a going concern, we immediately understand what the challenges and the gaps are that we need to immediately intervene on, so that we don't have the situation that resulted to Rural Development stepping in creating the recapitalization of the farmers. We also want to engage other departments carrying out agricultural programs so that there's alignment in the country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. For me, it's a new presentation altogether, which members were supposed to have get their document in time. So that we are able to engage with the process with the full understanding. And what is important, that of the presentation that you have presented, DAF, is to remind all of us that we should not forget that already government has dealt with these matters, and there is a program on Operation Pakisa. So which I think it will be important
that us here starting to engage on funds must go, funds must not go. I don't see it as a health discussion of members of parliament. Because if government shift any functions, they must resolve those things there and comes to us to say this is what we've done. We can't allow a situation where you have this department saying we're giving you functions without funds. Those that others say you can't give us funds, we function without funds, we won't accept it. But there is a head of government, which is presidency, which actually determine the function and all those things. And there is treasury, which must look at, if the president pronounce, the treasury must look at all the program and allocate resources. It cannot be us here. So I'm going to suggest, honorable members, I know that with your time might be wasted, I'm going to allow you to ask questions. But there should be a proper meeting, and which, for me, through you, Chair, we should be called, with this meeting, we should actually invite presidency and treasury to come and talk to us about the PAKISA, how do they address issues of these resources to support the post-settlement and those smallholder farmers. And because for me, the way agriculture is presenting is talking about the future programs, but now there is a decision that has been taken here to say these functions must go there. And they're saying this function must not come. Who must decide the function must come or not? It must go on, or it must go, and who must decide who must not come? It's not the issue of the friendship arrangement. It's a government who are running institution. If the political leadership have spoken, there should be that process. I'm going to ask honorable members, let's ask questions, but the matter of resources and other things, leave it. We must invite treasury and presidency to come and resolve those issues. And we can just ask questions in terms of things that they've presented. Honorable Muguni and Honorable Stein.
Thank you very much, and thanks to the presentation. I don't know, Chair, I was going to humbly make an appeal that with the two presentations now that we've got the last one, perhaps back to Honorable Chabeleng's proposal, we give ourselves time to go through the presentations and to align them and to talk to them. And Chair, if that is supported, we then ask you, co-chairs, to reconvene us with the necessary backup of the presidency and treasury, where possible, including some political heads there. I'm saying some because presidency has got at least four political heads. A relevant one, I think Dr. Ngomane would know, which maybe it's a minister in the presidency, I don't know, who would be responsible for coordinating this at the level of presidency, this coordination. I wanted, in short, Chair, to really suggest that we take the documentation and we go through them. Also, as committees, we've got committee supports, our researchers and Cornell advisors, just to synthesize, and then will you reconvene us? That's my proposal, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Stay.
Chairperson, I think we must just switch that mic off for the... Or shall I say chairpersons? Good morning. Malibongwe. Chair, I think this is a mess, to say the least. It's a mess.
We have a minister and a deputy minister sitting here. We're calling on Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, Presidency, to come and tell us what's going on. When I read this document, it says here that these things must be signed by end of July. We're going in recess in 2 weeks. We can't leave the two departments to sit here and decide if they're going to do it or not going to do it, and who's going to do it, and how's it going to be done, and, you know, it's a mess. Out there, farmers are crying. There are people that can't pay the electricity bill at the end of the month because they don't have security of tenure, they don't have a loan agreement, they don't have a practicality thing that needs practical things from these two departments to be implemented so that they can go on with their lives. I don't know why we're meeting here today. What is it that we need to discuss? A week or two or three ago in our portfolio committee, no one could tell us if this is now coming to agriculture or not, but it seems like it's coming. The other thing is, Chair, our department, and I don't know if rural development can do it, at least there's a list of recapped farms. Hopefully we have the names, the farms, the things, everything, it looks like it. But our department, who now needs to take over, DAF, doesn't have a list of farmers. Farms with farmers that needs to be supported, all the support in the country. I'm really upset that we sit here and discuss this here today as if, you know, there is no plan, although it says the plan must be signed. What was done in that five weeks Pakisa then? If we sit here today and we don't know if it's coming or not coming and where's the funds going to go, I totally agree, Chair. I think we need maybe just to get a statement at least from the minister that it's moving. Then we know. Then that, or I don't know what we must do, because we sit here, discuss as if no one knows if it's moving or not and how it's moving and where the funds is. If you read the documents, there was meetings with Treasury. There was this. The things are supposed to be in place. I don't know. We are putting our farmers at risk there, Chair. That's all that I'm saying. Don't get frustrated, Honourable Members. We have to pull it through. That's our responsibility. We'll work with both the two departments to make us sure that indeed the Pakisa that was launched by the President, in which all the ministers participated, is going to be implemented, and that's why I'm saying it will be the Pakisa is led by the President, and probably it was deliberate that you would not want to end up with the department arguing the way they are arguing. If it was going to be led by them, I think it was going to take more than 2 years. But because there was a presidencies and treasuries and other stakeholders, that's why it took five weeks. I'm going to, at the request, if the ministers, you've got something, but we should then agree that if there is no opposing view of the proposal of Honorable Mguni, indeed that let's get the presentation. Actually, it's... we should then define this meeting to say we get the briefings in terms of the Operation Pakisa and how the alignment, because Pakisa deals with the alignment, enacting finances for the agricultural sector and all those things. And if there is any opposing view from what Honorable Mguni says, that let's have a meeting where we have Treasury and Rural Development and DAF and the Presidencies to look at those issues, then I'll accommodate that. But there is a proposal on the table. We should speak on the proposal for and against. Honorable
Chair, it's got no difficulty with the proposal that we should get the various role players here to assist us with our oversight function.
But I think the difficulty that I will have is if what happens if we go into another joint portfolio committee meeting, and I think it's very good that we meet together like this, and we still have misalignment. Surely we should have a reasonable expectation as a joint the two committees that in the meantime, call it homework that needs to be done between the departments and the various state entities that were referred to, and a consolidated proposal be in front of us that we can interrogate. So I think there's a step before we have the meeting with all the stakeholders, a step that needs to be in place.
Chair, you wanted to say something?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the intention of this meeting was to just get the view, since there was a presentation that the RECAP has been transferred from rural development to agriculture. What processes are in place? And I think the Department of Rural Development has made a clear presentation. When looking at the presentation, it has got the process. What is it that we are going to do and when? But what is outstanding then, because the major concern here is the issue of the resources. That is why we are saying we need to have a joint meeting with National Treasury and see how best can we address this issue, because a decision has been taken, the cabinet has taken that decision, and that decision must be implemented. So if the Department of Rural Development is saying we didn't have a direct or a specific budget for this program, it means that Treasury must be involved. Because we can't say that the department, because the department was taking 25% of their baseline land reform budget to implement this program. We can't say that they must do the same, take that 25% out of their own budget and transfer it to agriculture. But the process is clear. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and DAF, they are working together towards the transference. But the major concern from the Department of Agriculture is the issue of resources, hoping that that meeting will assist us. But our responsibility as this committee, we're going to monitor the implementation of this process by both the departments, because they're working together. There's no way in the presentation whereby the Department of Rural Development is saying, we as the Department of Rural Development, we're going to do 1, 2, 3. But the presentation is saying rural development together with agriculture. So we hope and understand that the two departments are working together for this transference. I think there's a need for that joint meeting just to look at the issue of the resources. The decision has been taken. It needs to be implemented. So the officials have got no right to say you are accepting, not accepting. It's a funded mandate. It's the unfunded mandate for them is to implement. The question is, how do you implement this decision if there are no resources? Then it means that we need to go back to Treasury where we can get the resources to implement this program. Otherwise, the process is clear. We have to monitor whether the two departments are able to follow their program, their schedule, towards the transference of this program to the Department of Agriculture. The issue of the resources is not our own responsibility. Treasury must engage Treasury and just finalize this. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. I think we agree, all of us were talking the same language. And I liked what the Honourable Member has raised, that there should be then the cleanup processes before the meeting, so that we don't have another to raise question again to say why this department was not been done this, why this department has not been doing this. So before we close, I'll come back to that one. I just want to give the two executing authority. So I call it by name so that executing authority, just to say something before we then wrap up this issue or how we're going to move forward.
Yebo, Chairperson. Zina Smeja. No, thanks. I think really there is nothing to say. What I can do is to apologize on behalf of my DG to the Honorable Whip of Rural. I was once in such temptations when I was a DG, and then I would find myself crossing the line, and I would be reminded all the time, look, you are no more a politician, you are a police here. So now and again, I'll cross the line and reminded. So DG, I don't know if he was an activist, but he was reminded that you don't cross the line. But I think one would be spoiling it beyond the roundup that the chairpersons have done. It will be more on the side of implementation rather than discussions at this level. You don't come and discuss it. We're always told that you are in this department, you shall do this. We don't come and discuss it. I've been given this department, I'll do this. Or can I do this? So I think that's the best way. But agreeing on the suggestion, can we pull things together for the better coming meeting when the joint meeting is come? But treasurer, surely, even if we don't get president, it will be nice, but treasurer will have to be part of the meeting when the chairpersons, they convene that meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm really covered. I'm covered by both yourselves and the Deputy Minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. I think I was trying to consult Uche. So we'd have to look at the suitable date for both the committees and have the all the stakeholders here. And as I've indicated that recap is a necessary program. I think we should not discuss it like it's a program that whether it should be done or not. It's a necessary program. Because government, you have moved ahead of this pronouncement of transferring, you have launched PAKISA to look at the alignment, how you're going to get resources, and how you're going to get partnership with business in the whole development of the sector in addressing the most critical item number 2 of the 9-point plan of the president, revitalization of agriculture and recap. So I think what we should then say, Department of Rural, DAF, because I know Dr. Ngomane is dealing with this, both the departments in the presidency. She's here. She must go, and the invitation will go both to the department and to presidency and treasury. And please, treasury must bring a person who has been dealing with the two departments, so that we don't have and there should be that meeting through you, Dr. Ngomane, before the real meeting. There must be that meeting between, it's an instruction from the portfolio committee, the meeting between the treasury, the two departments. When you come here, you must come with the implementation plan of what is it that you're going to do. And in aligning the work of the two departments, how are we going to get resources to be able to to build the sector such that it will respond to what the president has pronounced, and even deals with the loopholes that exist in the departments. Of course. course, with the Department of DAF, I know their weaknesses, which I told you, you must actually deal with them and action plan those issues. In the next meeting, we must be able to move from that angle. So, and thank you very much for the meeting, but the agenda is not exhausted, but this issue, we are done with it. And thank you very much. And Portfolio Committee members of Agriculture, if you want to stay, you can stay to continue with the meeting. Those that wants to leave to another appointment, you are released. So, Chair, I must hand it over to you, and I'll be a good listener in this meeting now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Then can we have a 10-minute break? Then the next presentation will be on the strengthening of the relative rights, the 50-50, Mr. Zulu. Get ready. 10 minutes stretching break, then we come back.
Thank you. see him again?
Okay.
Sorry, sorry.
You know, wearing short skirts, one is bent.
Thank you very much.
All right.
That's the one we're going to do now. Yeah, that's the one. You have it as well, right?
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable members, can we start with our meeting? Honorable members, let's start with our meeting. As I've indicated before, that the next presentation will be on the strengthening of the relative rights of people working on the land, which is known as the 50-50. Then can I hand over this to the DG to lead us with the presentation. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. Indeed, we will make the presentation on strengthening of relative rights. We have circulated then the framework that we are using because we really want to use the work we've been doing so far then to develop it into a much more detailed policy document, just like we did with the one household, one hectare. So we're going to talk to